5 at 5 brought to you by Duplicating Systems. More than a system, a solution. We are live at the UGA Bookstore. Jeff, your honor, It is time for you to make your closing arguments in the case of Georgia versus Tennessee tomorrow afternoon, 3:30, right next door at Sanford Stadium.
Well, Counselor, I think this is a game that is about Georgia. Georgia's got the better coach. Georgia's got the better personnel. This is still the University of Tennessee. They do have capable athletes. Georgia did a lot of good things last week, but Georgia had some uncharacteristic mental mistakes. So I think what Kirby Smart is hoping for this week, you got the prime time 3:30 kickoff. This stadium is going to be on fire. I mean, because let's face it, the first two home games coming off of last season were Austin Peay and Middle Tennessee. Now, we had great crowds, but this is the one everybody's been getting amped up for. Everybody's rolling into town for this. I think you're going to see Georgia clicking on all cylinders tomorrow.
What was the number of the Middle Tennessee State game? Wasn't it about the same as it is tomorrow?
I think it was 29, wasn't it?
For Middle?
I think.
So Tennessee's a bigger underdog than Middle?
If memory serves, maybe it was 31. I thought it was 29. Maybe it was the exact same.
Yeah, I for some reason I was thinking it was like 35 or 36. Like
no, it wasn't that
a little
high.
Higher. Wasn't that high?
No, it wasn't that high.
All right.
Maybe it was 33. Maybe it was
about the same though.
They are. Austin Peay was what, 43? Is that right?
Well, the closing number was 46 because if you go on the closing number, the old dogs did not cover that game, but. The game was shortened by 5 minutes.
Yes, it was. By the way, the Cubs have just broken this one open. It is 8-2, B8.
All right. Well, gives the Brewers something to think about before they take on the Tigers tonight.
El Tigres.
All right. So besides the Georgia win tomorrow, what is it that we want to see? You know, from individuals, maybe from certain units. What's an acceptable point total for the Dogs on offense?
I think crisp. I would say the offense. I've been picking 27-3, but I think you want to see Georgia get at least into the 30s tomorrow, don't you? And I would say the run defense for Georgia. I think the run defense is where you really want to see the most improvement. Because Tennessee, like you've said all week, Chris, they're going to try and run the football to shorten the game. And then just big picture for Georgia, just be crisp, just be sharp, and cut way down on those penalties and mental mistakes. I think you'll see that tomorrow.
Yeah, unless Pruitt's just had a plan the whole time. Do you know what we're going to do? We're going to run the ball a lot in these first four games just so we throw it a lot against Georgia unexpectedly. But they have and again, given that they've lost two games by 26 points, I mean, they rank 115th in the country in passing plays this year, and they're 13th in running plays. So they have led with the run, and that's even in two games where they have been behind by a lot when you would expect that under those conditions. Normally, teams start passing the ball, but Tennessee has not thrown it a ton. They've liked to get after it on the ground.
Well, they've got – one advantage. They're coming in here with absolutely nothing to lose.
And that is true.
You know, so nobody in the world is picking him. So I'm sure he can sell those guys on, hey, listen, nobody in the world's giving you a chance. You're the underdog. And this is the one where, you know, what would worry you for Georgia if Tennessee's just hanging around. Georgia misses opportunities. But, again, this is a new Georgia. And you think about all the mistakes we've made. And I think we talked about this a lot. There were – a lot of similarities last week to some Georgia games from recent years, with two exceptions. The fact that Georgia won the game while making those kind of mistakes, and that Georgia won the game by 14 at Missouri. I mean, with all the stuff that didn't go right for Georgia.
Yeah, and I mean, Georgia didn't trail. They didn't have to come from behind. And, you know, after, you know, about midway through the second quarter, I mean, it even got past the point where you were thinking, like, boy, we could lose this game. This is trouble. Early on, I had that feeling. But after a while, once Georgia built that, it's probably after that, honestly, the blocked punt.
You felt it was Georgia's game to lose. And I think the other thing that happened, and this goes back to the recruiting and the development of talent, that Georgia just has got a lot of explosive players out there. And even though it wasn't the crispest game, you know, Georgia got the three touchdowns on big passing plays. Georgia has enough athletes where you feel like if you're the better team, somebody's going to make a play for you.
Right. You know, but you hope you're not necessarily in a game where you're waiting on somebody to show
no
up
doubt.
And make that big
you
play.
You can't live like that every game.
No.
But It happened last week. I think you want to see the offense maybe put together some drives tomorrow. And still, can Mecole, Chris, for a fifth game in a row, get a long touchdown? I'm really behind him 100% for getting All-American honors. And I think at the the one-third poll of the regular season, he would have to be a first-team All-American right now.
For sure. And, you know, maybe at least put himself in position where he'd get invited to New York.
Sure.
Right now, the last time I looked at odds, Tua is actually – he's like minus 150 to win the Heisman. So there is there's a pretty clear cut-and-dry front runner at this point. It's hard to argue with that, honestly.
Oh, his numbers are ridiculous,
Although, you know, now with Trevor Lawrence now taking over full-time at Clemson, I mean, for a guy that's only been playing part-time so far, like, his numbers are right up there with what Haskins has done and what Tua has done. So now getting all the reps there with nobody to back him up. I mean, they don't even have a deal now. I don't know, like, if they're in a rout, does he come out in the fourth quarter? How's that going to work?
Certainly they've got
to have someone.
They've got to have – I mean, I'm sure
they got a Matthew Downing.
I'm sure they've got a Matthew, and they've got to have a Bryce Ramsey on scholarship,
I would
think.
But, you know, now that he's going to be the full-time guy there, he and Clemson, they're not losing any more than maybe a game this season. So, you know, who's going to get the credit for it? It'll be Lawrence. But, you know, Tua right now is, you know, playing for Bama. So, I mean, if Deshaun Watson couldn't win the Heisman Trophy, I'm not I think Trevor Lawrence would definitely be a long shot, but right now we do have a big favorite in Tua. Jeff, the Falcons, they host the Bengals on Sunday after losing to the Eagles. They had this stretch of three straight home games. They beat Carolina. They lose last week to the Saints. What is the what are your thoughts on the Falcons this Sunday?
Dangerous when you say must win, isn't it? Because guess what doesn't have to happen?
They do not have to win.
I think for Atlanta to make the playoffs, in my opinion, this is a game they have to win. This is a beaten-up football team, though. I mean, the injuries on that defense, I heard you say on one of your award-winning Southern Sports Centers, Devontae Freeman's a no-go. I do like that backup, but, man, Ito Smith, named for Judge Lance Ito.
That is a fact.
Yes.
He was, yeah.
He is.
He went to he's a rookie out of Southern Miss, and he was born around the time of the infamous O.J. trial, and he was named for Judge Lance Ito.
So I think Atlanta should be able to win this thing at Mercedes-Benz. You said you would take the 4.5 in Cincinnati. You got Geno Atkins and A.J. Green coming into town.
And Sean Williams.
Sean
and
Williams.
Clint Bowling, I believe.
Bowling's still there.
I think Cordy Glenn is there now, too.
Golly,
they have a bunch of Bulldogs.
Just loaded up with Bulldogs there.
They still have Marvin Lewis.
They also still have Andy Dalton.
Hey, they're 2-1.
And Atlanta this week does have the better quarterback. I think Atlanta in a close one Sunday. I'm with you. I might, you know, this gets kind of dangerous if you're picking with your friends to say, well, I like Atlanta to win, but don't cover. But in the NFL, you know, 4.5-point line.
The point spread rarely matters in the NFL. I mean, even look like the last week there were two double-digit underdogs who both covered. They also won the game straight up.
Game.
I mean, that spread did not matter.
I like Atlanta close on Sunday, though. And I think the players know that. I mean, blowing that game against the Saints, and then if you lose to the Bungles, that division is so tough. And nobody saw Tampa doing what they're doing.
No, right now the Falcons are in last place.
So everybody else is 2-1, correct?
Yeah, and Falcons are sitting there 1-2.
So this is one you got to win to keep pace here. And the problem with the defense now, though, is it looks like the only guy who's coming back is Deion Jones. And I'm telling you, we knew that when he went on the IR, that's at least 8-9 weeks that he's out.
Yeah.
So,
and then, you know, McKinley was hurt last week. He's coming back, but you're still down Keanu Neal, and it's just – the Ricardo Allen got hurt last week, so
I mean, the thing is the injuries. They were my pick to go to the Super Bowl out of the NFC, but unfortunately that's not going to happen. They might be able to get themselves into the playoffs, but they've just lost too much on defense. And just the odds, if you had to just get in shootout after shootout after shootout, the odds of doing that and winning, it's not impossible, but it's certainly not probable.
I don't know. I'm kind of feeling the
You like Cincy?
I'm kind of feeling the Bengals, I hate to say it.
Does it feel like that year, was it 2013 after Atlanta had the great year where they got off, they were 1-2 or 1-3, and it was a quote-unquote must-win against the Jets on a Monday night, and the Jets beat them. And it was like, all right, well, this season's over.
Yeah.
I have that kind of feeling for Sunday. Like, if they lose, I think they're toast for making the playoffs.
You know, it's interesting. Last year's team had really, I mean, two terrible home losses. That team early on lost to the Bills and the Dolphins.
I'd forgotten about that Bills game.
The Bills, okay, they made the playoffs, but that was a bad loss to them at home. And then they blew that 17-0 halftime lead to the Dolphins. But, hey, I mean, last year's team was able to recover from those and still end up making the playoffs a year ago. But, you know, this team, they've been just devastated by injuries. At least last week, as ugly as that game ended up being, from to lose that game, it did at least give me confidence that Atlanta's offense, if it has to take the lead, they've got that ability. But now at 1-2, I don't know. You lose this game with at Pittsburgh on deck.
Ooh.
You know, then you're 1-3, and you're really looking at being 1-4.
And you're toast.
Yeah.
That division's too good.
Yeah.
You're not going to come back against three teams like that.
Then, I mean, you know, Atlanta's got to go to Cleveland this year too, which before the year started looked like a definite win, but
Brame's got the Falcons on the clock. They're going to be getting Ed Oliver.
Baker Mayfield. Hey, Ed Oliver wouldn't be bad.
No?
All right, moving on in the 5-5. Excluding Georgia, of course, if you were making an ultimate viewer's guide to college football tomorrow, noon tonight, what are the games? What are we watching?
I think some excitement early. Texas Tech and West Virginia, offensive showcase there. Stanford Notre Dame looks kind of boring to me. I think Mississippi State Florida could be the most entertaining game because of the atmosphere there. I think Kentucky South Carolina is going to be really good as well. And, I mean, it's almost like with Ohio State Penn State, I mean, whoever wins that, the odds are pretty darn good. You're going to see them in the college football playoff. The loser's not dead. But in many ways, like, just, I mean, who do you hate worse there? And if you're a Georgia fan, a Bama fan, an Oklahoma fan, it really doesn't matter which one of those teams wins.
No. You know, Michigan's schedule is so tough, and they've already lost to Notre Dame. They're not going to be in the playoff, but I think they can have a say and an influence can. And it's just, you know, circling that date, the last day of the regular season with Michigan and Ohio State, with the Wolverines having a crack at the Buckeyes. But, you know, tomorrow night, even though they're at home and, you know, it's a night game and
Ohio State's winning.
Oh, the whiteout. Yeah. They're winning that game.
Silence. Talk about being tone deaf.
Silence the white noise.
Whew.
Is what it said. Not that we care either, because Georgia will be playing Tennessee tomorrow at 3:30, but the 3:30 window tomorrow doesn't even look any good anyhow. So you got although Pitt and Central Florida play at 3:30 tomorrow.
My man Wells says UCF's a lock on that.
FSU and Louisville, which like two years ago would have been a giant game. But not so much. Baylor's at Oklahoma at 3:30 tomorrow. And then Purdue is at Nebraska with Scott Frost trying to get him his first win. Well, the Cubs had a big lead. Now they're making errors.
This is shades of the other Alex Gonzalez there.
That's, yeah, I mean, that was one, too. It was just – went right through his legs.
Can't get that last out, that 27th out.
All right, and finally we'll wrap up the 5-5 with from college to the pros this Sunday. Let's see, the 1 o'clock lineup. We got Lions at Cowboys, Texans at Colts. The Bengals and Falcons is of course, a biggie.
It is.
And Cincinnati, I mean. 2-1. They're tied for first right now.
Well, I think you pointed out there are a lot of good quarterback matchups. Miami going to New England with a chance to make it 4-0 and just go ahead and bury those Patriots.
I'm trying to figure out what's the money line parlay piece that I can couple with the New England on Sunday, because, you know, I'll definitely buy the win if I have to.
Do that in the L.A. Chargers against San Fran without Jimmy GQ.
Okay, good call. There you go. There's my money line parlay. But the Niners are a double-digit underdog. They'll probably win straight up. Those have been gold in the NFL.
Yeah, it's crazy. I think the best game of the day, Chris, could be Tampa Bay at Chicago. What do you think?
That'll be a good one, yeah. Yeah, Browns and Raiders, I think, will be that. That'll be entertaining. I mean, the Browns are a must-watch now. Come on,
they really are.
Mayfield, but that's at 4:05. We won't see that.
I mean, I found myself 2 weeks ago when they were playing that Thursday night game. I was just locked in.
Yeah, I mean, all of a sudden, and it's bad because, you know, you don't want to support this Thursday night football.
2 weeks in a row, they've said these crazy. Then if you want to talk about the Falcons and Eagles,
right?
They've been gold on Thursday night.
Because the Jets and Browns, I mean, that was the Mayfield coming out. I mean, that was
last night.
Last game was fantastic with these two 70s throwbacks.
The uniform. And like you said, the uniforms, I know we had gotten back and, you know, Emily gets in bed early. She's a teacher. She gets up early and, you know, so we flip on the TV. She jumped in bed with Tilly and I said, all right, well, I'll lay down with you and watch a game. And, you know, it's still daylight out there too, which was really cool. And like you said, I mean, it was like the nighttime. Is Deacon Jones going to be chasing Fran Tarkenton around here tonight?
You know, I was waiting, like, when does John Facenda kick in? The old NFL Films music.
Because the back in the 70s, there was a stretch there for 8 out of 9 years, with the 72 Redskins being the exception, it was either Minnesota or Dallas in the Super Bowl from that side. But the Rams were pretty much in the playoffs every year.
Yeah.
They couldn't get over.
They would lose to either Minnesota or Dallas in the playoffs.
And then the 79 team wound up going 9-7, got in there. Yeah. And they wound up beating Tampa 9-0, which, by the way, that's one, like, for ESPN Classic. Throw that on.
Oh, they showed that.
The 9-0 game?
Yeah.
I've never seen that game.
No. I'd watch it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, why not? All right, that's today's 5 at 5, brought to you by Duplicating Systems. More than a system, a solution.